Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight I want you to ponder about how much time each week, or honestly, even each month, you spend in the Psalter. That is the book of Psalms. God has retained for us the Old Testament hymnal, the songs that were inspired by the Holy Spirit, given to men to continue in worship. Many of those psalms were written by David, a man who was after his own heart of God, a man who was a sinner who desperately needed God's forgiveness, a man who understood the depravity of his sin when confronted of it by Nathan, a man who was an adulterer, a covetous man, a murderer, one who was not content with what God had given him, one who was constantly filled with lust, but a man who heard the word of the Lord, a man who would repent, a man who would return, a man whose bones would wax inside of himself at the knowledge of his sin. That man, inspired by the Holy Spirit, gave us beautiful words. Words that we sing each and every Sunday as we prepare for the service of the sacrament. Psalm 51. These words: "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." These are words that David would confess because of his sins of adultery and murder. David also gave us the beautiful words of Psalm 22. The Psalms are intended for God's church here on earth to sing the very word of the Lord. The Psalms are meant to be sung. And quite honestly, they're meant to be sung responsively. That a cantor or the pastor would sing out the antiphon, and the people would respond with song, and it would go back and forth, verse by verse, the words of God Most High being filling in the sanctuary of the Lord. Jesus knew these songs. Jesus utters the words of these songs on his cross. For 6 hours, Jesus was nailed to a cross. And for 6 hours, he continued to put his trust in his Father. Jesus would sing out with the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God in the flesh, a sinless God-man, a man who had never committed a single crime, now hung with the weight of the sins of the entire world upon him. The Father rejects him. The Father turns away from his only begotten Son in that hour because he despises sin so utterly and completely. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us. And he feels the effects of the Father turning away from him, forsaking him. Psalm 22 is uttered throughout our text for tonight. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots, also comes from Psalm 22. Those words that I just said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, come from Psalm 22. 22. It's very realistic that Jesus also would have uttered the words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Even in the forsaken nature of his cross, he still trusted completely his Father, a trust that so many times we lose ourselves. Jesus hangs on his cross, with criminals to his left and to his right. Earlier in his ministry, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, requested to be seated at his right hand and at his left. And Jesus said, "That is not for me to give today." And he was absolutely correct, because on his right hand is a criminal on his own cross, and on his left hand is nailed yet another criminal. The cross is his throne that day. The creator of the world is hung to die. These people forsook him. God, his Father, forsook him. Jesus hung there to die. They would rail against him like everyone else would rail against him. But thanks be to God, one of those criminals had a change of heart. He was brought to repentance upon seeing Jesus. And he says, "Lord, let me be with you. I confess my sins to you." And Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The cross of Jesus Christ forgives sins even in the midst of that cross. Jesus looks out and he sees his mother weeping at the death of her son. She knew that this would happen. Her own heart was pierced when he was only 40 days old. She knew that he would be for the rising and falling of many in the nations. But Jesus loves his mother, and so he provides for her. Even in his hour of death, he provides her with care. He turns her over to his beloved disciple John, that the rest of her days John would watch over her, that he would make sure that she was provided for. And when the final hour came, after the fullness of that 6 hours, Jesus proclaimed something important, something that has stood the test of time. For he declared the words, "It is finished." I want you to think of Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and his resurrection all as one event, because you can't really separate them out. From the time that Jesus institutes his supper until the hour of his resurrection, this is one complete act done by Jesus Christ to show that sins can be forgiven, that heaven can be opened, that the devil is defeated. By his death, by his wounds, by his stripes, you are healed. He rests on the Sabbath day, and then he breaks forth from his tomb. The devil, our sins, death cannot hold him. Even with a pierced side, Jesus still blesses his church. For from his side flow water and blood. His body given, his blood shed. That blood fills the cup that we drink. That water fills the font that washes over us and makes us clean. Jesus said, "This is not the end of the story. They will kill me, but on the third day I will rise." The disciples forget this time after time after time, but those Jewish leaders did not. And so they built lie upon lie upon lie. They said, "He said that he would rise on the third day. So to make sure that won't happen, we'll say that the disciples will come and take him. So let's make sure that it's completely locked up tight. So while the Jews are preparing for his possible resurrection, his disciples are cowering in fear." Jesus would rebuke his disciples they would repent and return to him. And he would use them as his apostles. He would send them out to build up his kingdom in word and sacrament ministry. Just as Jesus did not leave his mother without care, he does not leave God's children without care too. And so as we approach Holy Week, approach his cross, a cross that is filled with the body of Christ for you, but also be prepared for an empty tomb that could not contain him. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.